This is the Steve Gruber Show. Sitting in today for Steve is Scott Bertram.
Number one of this day back in 1960, Chubby Checker had number one of their singles chart with The Twist. Pretty big tune. Dance craze. And of course, the follow-up hit, the next year, I believe, right? Let's Twist Again, like we did last summer. Chubby Checker, number one of this day back in 1960 with The Twist. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Final 15 minutes or so. Steve, unexpected illness, but on track to be back with us tomorrow on the program. He'll have lots to say of that, I'm sure. You can find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M. And I'm the general manager of the student radio station here at Hillsdale College. Reach the school at hillsdale.edu. This is Constitution Week, maybe. You want to take some of our Constitution classes. You can find all that info and more up at hillsdale.edu. I have a handful of stories here. I just want to run through them like a grab bag, round robin, because I won't have time to talk to you tomorrow about them. Mark J. Byrd, College of Southern Nevada, been there for 2 decades in the Department of Human Behavior. The 69-year-old arrived at the campus west of the Las Vegas Strip August 28th at 8 a.m., carrying a black briefcase, went to the second floor, waited for the hallway to clear, entered a unisex bathroom, locked the door, taped a $100 bill and a note for the janitor to the mirror, placed 3 sealed letters on the counter, pulled the gun from his case. From the bathroom, a loud bang jolted the hallway, witnesses would tell police. Byrd, the professor, blood gushing from his left forearm. Bystanders flocked to his side, smell of gunpowder, panic button pushed. Look, here's the thing. He's protesting President Trump, and he shot himself because of that. Byrd's anti-Trump rhetoric would continue in his interviews with investigators. The professor survived his injuries, but is now currently facing criminal charges stemming from the shooting, including felony counts of carrying a concealed weapon without a permit and discharging a gun in a prohibited area. He has not publicly filled in the motivations behind the episode, but basically shot himself to protest Donald Trump. He's a college professor in the Department of Human Behavior, and sounds like he could use some help. Seriously. Nolan Finley at the Detroit News had this story. It's being picked up around Julian Melcher. Julian Melcher, formerly of National Review and now up at the Wall Street Journal, was talking about this yesterday, and I know Nolan's been following this for a while. City Council of Detroit late last week refused to okay permits for a second tower of rooms to be built next to the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown. $158,500,000 expansion would have made Detroit more competitive for the big-ticket conventions and events like the NCAA Final Four that it's missing out on right now for the lack of large hotels downtown, not to mention jobs for city residents, both in construction and staffing. And the best part, the hotel wasn't asking for a dime in tax breaks or incentives. They just wanted to build a hotel. Like, permission. Let us build this hotel with our own money. Let us hire people. Let us pour tax revenue back into the city. The project had a flaw, Nolan Finley writes. Crown Plaza has been in a long-running labor dispute with the union representing downtown hospitality workers in Detroit. Councilwoman worked with the union before joining the council. Now she's serving as its de facto business agent, Nolan Finley writes. Councilwoman insisted the hotel take a neutral stand in organizing drives. It refused and also decided not to play the council's shakedown game any longer. Crown Plaza dropped plans for the new tower, saying it will invest the money intended for Detroit in another city. So Detroit loses a major hotel and, by the way, sends a message to other developers that the city is not an honest broker when it comes to labor disputes. Mayor sat on the sidelines while the council was chasing away Crown Plaza. Hopefully he'll engage before the council cements the return of Detroit to an anti-development, business-hostile community. Nolan Finley in the Detroit News. A hotel simply wants to build a hotel, simply wants permission to do so, No tax breaks, no money, no public funds, no nothing. Let us hire people. Let us build a hotel. Let us put tax revenue back into the city of Detroit. And the council, to protect unions, says no. Crowne Plaza will spend that money elsewhere. Other cities will get the benefit. And a final story here in this little section. City of Ann Arbor has confiscated nearly 24 Bird scooters for violating a city ordinance. Scooters are being stored at a public works facility. The tech company has been asked to come collect them. The scooters were improperly parked on bicycle lanes, city streets, or on sidewalks, said a spokeswoman for Ann Arbor. So the scooter's very essence violated a city ordinance saying motorized vehicles cannot be used on sidewalks or impede the public right of way. I don't know how closely you've been following this these scooter stories. These are Bird scooters. There's bikes as well. So scooter, there's motorized scooters. I know it's in San Francisco and elsewhere. And then LimeWire is what it's called. Bike rentals that are popping up in cities across the country. And the issue that's cropping up is that after you rent them, some places say you've got to drop them off in certain locations, but others say just leave them wherever. And it's all based on cell phone and Wi-Fi and GPS technology, how long, how far you rode them, where the bike is left, things like that. But some of these companies say just leave that bike wherever you want and someone else will come pick it up. And the cities are saying, I mean, it's not quite littering, right? But you're leaving stuff. You're leaving bikes and scooters all over the place. That's not the way we want our city to look. So we're not sure we want you to operate here. Ann Arbor saying that the scooters' very essence violated a city ordinance saying motorized vehicles cannot be used on sidewalks or impede public right of way. They had 24 Bird scooters, bicycle lanes, city streets, on sidewalks where they were. So we shall see. San Francisco gave permits to two smaller scooter startups, Scoot and Skip. Ugh, I don't know any of these things. We don't have these in Hillsdale. We have no scooters and no public bikes in Hillsdale. And Ann Arbor, you don't have any scooters either. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
There's satisfaction in building something new, something important, and something that will last for generations. Right now, there are job openings across Michigan for construction workers of all kinds. It could be you. Demand for construction workers has never been higher. You can help build roads, bridges, and infrastructure all across Michigan. And remember, construction workers are cool. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner to find out more about opportunities, education, and real possibilities for your future. Click on the Michigan Construction banner at stevegruber.com. Do it today. Michigan residents are targeted for identity theft more often than the rest of the country. It's a fact. But did you know the Michigan Chamber has an identity theft protection solution designed to help Michigan Chamber members and their employees? It's true. And it's the best data protection you can get today. There are only two kinds of people, those that have had their data stolen and those that will. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you defend yourself and your employees from getting robbed. Go to stevegruber.com, click on the Michigan Chamber logo to learn more and get started. Protect yourself with the Michigan Chamber Identity Theft Protection.